Now, kids, I hope you haven't rushed into your learning sheets just yet. I hope they've been given out to you. We need to stop and we need to listen to God's words. This is the most important thing of what we're doing this morning, more important than what I'm going to say, because all I'm going to say is trying to help us to understand this. So let's listen. Let's take a look at what happens. We're in Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. Grab your Bible if you haven't got it already. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he, that's Jesus, said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." So he's by the Sea of Galilee. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. He was preaching and teaching from a boat, we think, at some point. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. But he, that's Jesus, was in the stern, that's the back, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus is in a boat, a little bit like this, okay? Don't think of a big ocean liner. Think of a boat like that, okay? And he's at the back. You can see where those guys are. He's kind of asleep on a little kind of ledge kind of thing. He might have had a cover over him, maybe, maybe not. but he's asleep. And he's had a busy day preaching and teaching. And the disciples and he get into a boat just as he is, no time for a rest. And they cross out over the storm. Now, I need to warn you, if you're of a nervous disposition, it's going to get very loud. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves are starting to break into the boat. And the disciples are calling to one another, trying to figure out what's going on. And these are expert fishermen, and they look at each other thinking, "My goodness, this is bad. This is awful." And they turn around, they're like, "Where's Jesus?" Jesus, he's asleep. He's snoring in the back of the boat. And so they wake him up and they're like, "Don't you care?" Jesus gets up. "Oi, wind, shush, waves, peace, be still." And there it is. Suddenly, immediately, a great calm. The noise of the silence is deafening. I don't know if you've ever been in a really loud place and it suddenly goes very quiet. You're left kind of going. And he turns to them and he says, "Why are you afraid? You still don't trust me?" And the disciples, they're even more afraid now. They're kind of huddling at the front of the boat going, "Who is he? Like, he just told the wind and the waves off and they obeyed him. This isn't a normal human being, is it?" See, Jesus, in this passage, we see that Jesus is the only one who can save us from the greatest storm. That's our big idea today. Now, children, if you've got your learning sheets, do fill that in if you've got that on the box there. Jesus is the only one who can save us from the greatest storm. Now, at the center of the whole Bible, in fact, at the center of human history, is Jesus. His life, his death, his resurrection, and his return to the Father in heaven. A turning point, the center point is his death and his resurrection when he hung on the cross. Everything before that moment in the Old Testament and even through the Gospels, as we're seeing today, was revealing and foreshadowing that, what was to come. giving us a picture of who he is, what he'll do, what to expect, and what that means for us. And so in this event with the calming of the storm, we are shown something about who Jesus is. It's like we have a living example, a real life metaphor of how Jesus relates to the storms of life. For the disciples in the boats, the storm was an actual storm. There was wind, there was waves, there might have been rain, we don't know, but certainly there was fear of death. For us, these storms of life can take other forms. Unless we're on a plane flying back from Portugal, we're not really bothered by storms in the same way, but financial struggles, illness, anxiety, depression, loss of income, loss of home, death of a family member. These storms can affect us greatly, can't they? Children, young people, I hope that you haven't had to face storms like this yet. Although I know some of you have. But the truth is, I'm afraid that a storm, a time of difficulty, will happen at some point in your life, and probably more than one. And grown-ups, we know this, don't we? If you've been a grown-up for any length of time, difficulty comes, storms will blow. What comfort then, what hope can following Jesus give us when we find ourselves in these storms of life? Well, we're going to look at three ways that we can have comfort and hope when we are with Jesus in the storms of life. And the first one, it might not feel like much of a comfort. The first one is this: following Christ will not keep us from storms. A Christian is someone who follows Christ. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died on a cross and rose again. We believe that Jesus has done everything necessary to deal with our sin, that is our wrongdoing against God, to restore our brokenness and reunite us with God, our Heavenly Father. And now we live lives following him, that is, living the way that he says is best. Now, please get that around the right way. Jesus does everything that we need to do. We just get to live it out. But that's what a Christian is, someone who follows Christ. The decision to follow Jesus really is the best decision you can make, and it is the right decision to make. But as this event in Jesus' life shows us, with his first disciples, following Jesus does not mean that life will be plain sailing. Following Jesus does not mean that life will be plain sailing. I mean, take the disciples with Jesus. They had left everything to follow him. They were as committed as you could get. They were unashamed to be around him, even around the Pharisees. They were obedient and followed him. They did what he said. But here they are in trouble, blatted about on the wind and the waves, in danger of sinking and drowning. So please, please, please do not fall into the trap of thinking that life with Jesus will be plain sailing. Some of you know this. You've already experienced the storms of life as a follower of Jesus. Others of you, you are yet to experience life's great storms. But whichever you are, do not be surprised by them, and certainly do not fear them coming. They will come. Jesus doesn't keep you from storms. God has promised us much. He's promised us forgiveness of sins, grace for each day, a renewed heart, a life with the Father, and the hope of life with him that carries on even through death. He has promised us all of those things. Every blessing in Christ is ours at one point in history. Future history. He has promised us much, but he has never promised plain sailing without any difficulties. He simply loves us too much to promise that. Following Jesus is right, It is best, but it's not a free pass from difficulty in this life. And if you are looking into Christianity here today, you need to know this. There are people in the world that make it seem that Jesus equals a trouble-free life. That he is the answer to all of your problems, in that if you trust him, if you follow him, life will be good. You will have everything you need and there won't be any difficulty. That is a lie. Jesus never promised that. In fact, he said there would be difficulties. He said the world will hate you if you follow me. There is much that Jesus offers us. And everything he offers us is amazing. And it far outweighs any difficulty that we may experience. But a trouble-free life, here and now, is not one of them. Following Christ will not keep us from storms, but there is hope. Because he is the one who commands every storm. That's the second thing that we're going to see. He is the one who commands every storm. Now, children, have you ever tried to tell a storm to shush? Have you ever tried it? Grown-ups, have you ever tried it? I have. I remember once, we were living in Bromley, and there was a massive storm, like loads of rain. And being somebody who teaches children and young people a lot, I thought of this story and was like, huh. I always say, if anyone ever told the storm to stop, and I've never really tried it to myself, so I'll give it a go. And I stood there, bold as brass, middle of the road, because there was no traffic, it was that bad a storm. I was like, oi, storm, shush. And it went calm. No, it didn't. Nothing happened. The storm kept, if anything, it got worse. Just to kind of say, right, storm, right on that man for trying to tell us to shush. We can't do it, can we? Why can't we do it? Why can't we do it? It's a bit like me going into number 10 Downing Street and saying to the Prime Minister, oi, Prime Minister, lower taxes. He's going to go, who are you? Get out. Security. I don't have the right. I don't have the power. I can't make him do that. If I try, the Secret Service will, like, put me in prison. I don't have the authority. I'm not above him in any way. In fact, the Bible tells me that I should do what he says, even if he is sometimes a bit of a div. My own personal political opinion, not what the Bible says. We cannot tell the wind and the waves to stop because we have no rights, we have no power, we have no authority, but Jesus does. Jesus does. And he makes that clear. Verse 41, the disciples notice the wind and the waves, they obey him. But did you spot the reaction from the disciples? They were scared before the storm, verse 40, but afterwards they were filled with great fear. The storm was somehow better than realizing who Jesus was, in one sense. They knew that the storm was raging. They knew that they had no control over it. They knew what was going to happen. But with Jesus, well, they just had their eyes opened to who he really is. And that filled them with a great fear. And they're left with that question, who is he then? Who is he? But it's kind of obvious, isn't it? It's a bit of a rhetorical question. Who is this? Who is he then that even the wind and the waves obey him? Well, who can command winds and waves other than the one who made them? It's God, right? The answer to the disciples' questions is really obvious. Jesus is God, for only God can make the wind and the waves obey him, for only God created the wind and the waves. And Jesus can command them because, and children, there is a space in your sheet if you're following on, because he has power and authority over the storm. You see, in this passage, we get a unique glimpse into the person of Jesus. He is fully human. And in that way, he's just like you and me. He's had a day of teaching. He's been worn out. He's got no rest because they take him as he is in the boat. No time to freshen up, no time to visit the bathroom or anything like that. They take him as he is. And so, worn out and tired, what would you and I do in that situation? Exactly what he does. Fall asleep. But Jesus is also fully God. And that makes him significantly different to us. So as a man, he is just like you and I. As a human being, he's just like you and I. But as God, he is entirely different. And so verse 39, he commands the storm to stop, and it does. Who is this Jesus? A man in history? Yes, absolutely. And the evidence for that is overwhelming. But just a man in history? No. He is also God himself in the flesh. And for some of us here this morning, this is all you are missing to know him, to truly know him as a follower. Jesus isn't merely another man, another historical figure, a guru, a wise man, a teacher, another religious option on the survey of faith. No. He is God. And you need to turn to him as such. And as you consider life with many trials, Jesus is asking you the same sort of question in verse 40. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Put it another way, what have you got to lose? Jesus is saying, come, see who I am. I can tell wind and the waves what to do. And I'm saying, trust me. You can trust me with your life. You can trust me even in the storms of life that you may face or are facing now. But God isn't merely the one who just stops the storms. His power and authority go way beyond that. Did you spot how Jesus stopped the storm? He rebuked it. It's a curious word, isn't it? He didn't just tell it what to do. He told it off. He said, oi, wind, that's enough of you. In fact, is there at any point in this story where Jesus is worried or anxious or fearful? No. I don't know about you. No matter how tired I am not going to sleep in 40-foot waves, 40-mile-an-hour winds, 15-foot waves in a little boat where it's filling up. It's going to wake me up, isn't it? But we're only fearful of things that we cannot control. And Jesus can control the wind and the waves. Why? Because he made them. He's creator. God the Father, through God the Son, created the heaven and the earths. And by their will, they have their being. In him, they hold all things together. That's quoted from bits of the Bible elsewhere, Colossians and Revelation. And so if Jesus is the one who can stop the storm, then he is also the one who allows it to happen. The God of the Bible is presented as the only one who can handle all the good things in the world and all of the bad things and bring them together to show us how great he is and to do good for those who follow him. He's the only one who can do that. Take all of the good, all of the bad, and use them to bring about his glory and good for those who follow him. And so if you look throughout the Bible, whenever God allows storms of life to rage against his people, he always does so for very good reasons. Again, children, this is on your sheet. Jesus only lets life get hard and stormy for good reasons. I mean, take this storm. Why did Jesus allow it to rage in the first place? Well, through this event, the disciples, they have their fears and lack of faith exposed. And Jesus helps them to trust him more. And that is a very good thing. Their understanding of who Jesus is shown to be incomplete. But he helps them to know him better. And that is a very good thing. They realize that they couldn't save himself from the storm. But Jesus showed them that he can, and that is a very good thing. God is the one who commands every storm, and whenever God allows storms of life to rage against his people, he always does so for very good reasons. I can testify to that. I can agree with that. My family and I, with recent years, we've experienced many storms. Loss of home, loss of job, being picked on, not treated very nice, being lied about, being gossiped about, having family members pass away with great sickness. We've experienced many storms, and it's not nice at the time. And we've often found ourselves asking, Jesus, don't you care? Yet afterwards, and even graciously, sometimes in the middle of the storm, we are thankful for it. We are greatly thankful for it. And we wouldn't have it any other way. Because every time we have faced a storm, we have come out of it knowing Jesus better, trusting him more, being far more grateful for him and his grace than we were before the storm struck. The good it has done us going through those storms with the Lord is worth it. And if you are a Christian here today, and children, let me ask you this. Teenagers, are you going to trust Jesus when life gets stormy? The storms of life God uses to bring about great good and to make us aware of just how brilliant he is. And that is a very good thing. And if you are not a Christian here today, then this is a hard truth, I'll admit. It's really difficult to say that God is the God who allows bad things to happen to bring about good things. It's really hard to trust that sometimes. But it's essential that you know it. God is the one who can command every storm. He doesn't keep you from storms, but he does say, trust me through them. And he says to you, that trust will never be misplaced. Can you accept that? Can you trust him with that? And if you can't, then let me carefully, humbly ask you this. What hope do you have then? What purpose is there in the storms of life? You're left with no hope, and you still need to answer the problem of, well, who is Jesus then? Following Christ will not keep us from the storms of life, but he is the one who commands every storm. And last thing that we're going to see, there is one storm, the greatest storm, and only he can save us from it. In the Bible, storms often are meant to make us think of God's judgment for our sin. Children, teenagers, grown-ups, can you think of a bit of the Bible where there is a storm linked to God's hurt and anger at our sin? I can think of two. Can you? Shout them out. Time when you weren't expecting this, audience participation, were you? Like, hang on a minute. What? Time of the Bible where there was a storm linked to God's judgment. Yes. Jonah. That's one of them. Yes. Jonah running away from God, and God says, oi, Jonah, no, sends a storm. Jonah, rather than going, sorry, God, gets himself thrown overboard and eaten by fish. Well done, Jonah. Harry, the flood, Noah and the flood, exactly. Two stories where God's judgment is linked to a storm. They're signs that God is hurt and outraged at our sin. Storms, raging seas, cloudy darkness, thunder, lightning. And in Hebrews 9:27, it tells us that there is a great storm waiting for each one of us. It says this, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. There is, if you are not following Jesus, if you are rejecting him and turning away from him, then there is the greatest storm waiting for you, and that's where you stand before the Lord. And he says to you, so then, what did you do with the life I gave you? And what did you do with my son? I've stood before head teachers in my time, and it's scary. But nothing is going to compare to standing before God and having to answer that question when you know that you have taken the life he has given you and you have not lived it for him. Where you have taken his son and you have rejected him and cast him aside like a worthless piece of trash. That is the greatest storm. But just as Jesus commanded this storm with wind and waves to stop, so he commands every storm. And he commands the storm of God's judgment to stop. Or rather, he commands it to blow and rage against him. And that is what he did on the cross. Jesus endured the storm of God's wrath at our sin. Have you ever wondered why the sky went dark? It's the storm of that greatest storm being borne by Jesus. All of God's hurt and pain and outrage at our sinfulness taken by his son. So that we might be saved from it and instead live with the greatest calm of peace and forgiveness with God. And that's exactly what the next verse in Hebrews says. It says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, having had the storm of God's judgment raging upon him, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is my testimony. This is what I have experienced. Last week we were in Eastbourne and I was able to go to the very seat, the very spot, square inch, where Jesus, my eyes were opened to how Jesus took this greatest storm for me. And in response, I experienced the greatest calm of peace and life and forgiveness with him. And every storm that has raged has been a mere trickle of a rainstorm compared to the greatest calm of knowing Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. How about you? Will you let Jesus save you from the greatest storm that you face? He is saying, what have you got to lose? Why are you afraid? Will you still not trust me? Following Christ will not keep us from the storms in life, but he is the one who commands every storm, and he is the one who can save us from the greatest storm there is. The question is, will we let him? Heavenly Father, I pray for each one of us here. Please help us to have our eyes open to see Jesus. Yes, to see him, the one who can command the wind and the waves. But more than that, to see him, the one who can command judgment to fall on himself so that we may be forgiven and be reconciled with our Heavenly Father. Amen.